To meet its luminous self of truth and bliss, amid the figures of the ignorant, in the simple picture drawn by word and thought, it seeks the truth to which all figures point. It looks for the source of light with vision's light.
ওম নমো ভগবতে। টুডে ইজ দি সেকেন্ড ডে অফ দি ক্যাম্প, সো টুডে আওয়ার কনসেন্ট্রেশন উইল বি অন অন বুক ওয়ান অ্যান্ড বুক টু। বুক ওয়ান ইজ হ্যাভিং 5 কান্টোস অ্যান্ড বুক টু ইজ হ্যাভিং 15 কান্টোস, সো টুডে উইল ব্রিফলি কনসেন্ট্রেট অন অন অল দি 20 কান্টোস। ফার্স্ট আই উইল রিড দি মাদার্স দিস মেসেজ। সো দি মহামন্ত্র অফ ইন্টিগ্রাল যোগ ইজ অল লাইফ ইজ যোগ। অল লাইফ মিন্স ফ্রম বিগিনিং অফ দি ক্রিয়েশন টু দি এন্ড, সো দি লাইফ ইজ ডিভিনাইজড। সো হিয়ার দিস ইজ দি মাদার্স মেসেজ। মাদার স্পিক্স দ্যাট I am waiting, I am millions of years old, and I am waiting to complete the divine task. So this mother said that she is pursuing this divine work from million years ago. Then another message that since the beginning of the earth, wherever and whenever there was the possibility of manifesting a ray of consciousness, I was there. So as per the Gita, when there is a union between Kshetra and Kshetrajna, the matter and spirit, the new manifestation takes place. And the mother declares that wherever there is any new manifestation from the beginning of the creation to till death, wherever, then mother declared that either subtly or in physically she was there. The mother gives this declaration. That means all new manifestation, the para prakriti is involved. Now we'll come to the book one of, and canto one of the Savitri book, epic, the symbol dawn. So this book, one canto one, has much spiritual importance as the content of the whole book is compressed in this single canto. This canto begins with the message from the beginning of this art, which is also the hour before God's awake, and ends with the message of the future earth when Satyavan will conquer physical death, and this is also identified as the hour of a greater dawn. So the Savitri book begins with the line that it was the hour before God's awake, and it ends with the line and in her bosom nursed a greater dawn. So this is all life. So all life means that the hour before God's awake means that this creation, this earth, is older than the heaven, and before the gods were created, the earth was created, and from that beginning and when the Satyavan will conquer death, then that is the hour of greater dawn. The time spent from beginning of the creation to the end of creation, which is known as all time, and the life spent through the subtle links of union from the beginning of creation to end of creation, known here as all life. Savitri gathered and accumulated her spiritual energy through all life and all time, which is symbolized here as 12 swift-winged months, and this day returning Satyavana must die. So here we understand that Satyavana is a Jivatma. So when he incarnate as first man or first avatar in his deathbed, the Lord promised him that he will surely grant him physical immortality. Lord promised him that when he was suffering in deathbed, so one day he will grant him the physical immortality. So that as the last avatar, the Satyavan and Savitri, they will conquer death. This is the message of Savitri, that from first avatar to last avatar, that is the all life, and in all life their divine work will be completed. The whole of Savitri is written from a plane of cosmic consciousness, the calm delight that waits one soul to all. So in cosmic consciousness, one embraces the whole world, where all grew a consecration and a rite, and all the 10 subtle planes meet each other, linking earth and heaven. So this book gives us a lesson to learn the adventure of consciousness and removes the gulf created between 10 selves and 10 seeds. And the persistent, slow, dynamic divine energy persuaded the inert black quietitude to transform subconscient and inconscient seeds. The whole of the book is compressed in this single canto. So the objective, main objective of the integral yoga to transform the subconscient and inconscient world, and that transformation will be slow always. That transformation will be slow, slow penetration of divine force all the time to the subconscient and inconscient world. So that description is also here in the first canto. That persistent, slow, dynamic divine energy persuaded the inert black quietitude to transform subconscient and inconscient seeds. This canto also gives the foreknowledge of advent of a marvelous birth of feminine avatar, which is a form from far beatitudes of Satchitananda plane. Her presence and power are too perfect to be held by death-bound hearts. Her immortal work is to confront death on our road. Even in the hour of grim meeting with death and fear, no cry broke from her lips, no call for aid. Calm was her face and courage kept her mute. So this is the sign of a spiritual man, that even the time of greatest adversity, one will remain very calm, equality, silence will be predominant. So that was Savitri's nature. Her spirit, open to the spirit in all, the universal mother's love was hers. All the descriptions in this book are symbolic language meant for undergoing spiritual experiences. If we confine these symbols to literal and earthly meaning, it will be a spiritual blunder that may culminate in oblivion that succeeds the spiritual fall. So here in Savitri, whatever Sri Aurobindo has written, all are symbol. All the lines are part of spiritual experience, written symbolically. Those who are open towards that spiritual experience, to them only it will reveal that. The symbol will reveal itself that there is a spiritual meaning of this line. So the soul-saving, non-escapist truth revealed in Savitri is disturbing to ordinary mind, liberated souls, later Vedantist, illusionist and Nirvanist. So Savitri is a book of strong spirituality. So the Bhagavad Gita is a book for all, and its spirituality is rather moderate spirituality. But the Essays on the Gita of Sri Aurobindo's Essays on the Gita, that is a book of strong spirituality. So, strong spirituality means that whatever hinted in the Bhagavad Gita but not developed, that Sri Aurobindo has developed, and that is only, that yoga only can be pursued by developed souls. So that is why strong spirituality. So here also, The Seshadri Gita is a book of strong spirituality, and Savitri is also a book of strong spirituality. So its message is disturbing to ordinary mind and also liberated souls, because liberated souls are satisfied with the partial divine union, and with the partial divine union, they think they have got everything, and they preoccupy themselves either in self expansion or they wait to go to the supreme abode, Paramdham. So here, hence, the spiritual message of Savitri is for strong and pure souls who are destined to reconcile spirit and matter of ancient Vedantic doctrine. So this is a difficult work. After finding the spirit has to be dynamized, and this dynamic spirit will penetrate the material world, and it will transform matter, and that task is a very difficult work, and it will continue through many births. So in this integral yoga, there are six divine calls. So if first divine call is this Jivatma's union with Paramatma, and the second divine call is the Jivatma's union with Paraprakriti, that is dynamic divine mother, and when this is the second divine call, and with the second divine call one can reconcile spirit and matter, and spiritual energy can penetrate into material world. So whatever Sri Aurobindo wrote about the transformation and all those things, that is possible after the consciousness is universalized. So if the consciousness is universalized, then the consciousness will move from this universal self to transcendent self, and from transcendent self to universal self. During that movement, the consciousness will come down to physical, vital, mental, dynamic consciousness, and to subconscious and inconscient, and pursue the transformation action. So this canto also gives the most important message of this canto. Canto 1 is that immobile in herself she gathered force. This was the day when Satyavana must die. So a sadhaka is always to remember, sadhaka, Savitri sadhaka is to always remember that Satyavana will return. Satyavana is within us. And since Satyavana will return and Satyavana is given a brief time, so he has to accumulate his spiritual energy. And based on this accumulation of spiritual energy, he will confront death as far as possible. In this birth and in successive births, he will confront with death. He will not surrender before death immediately. And also, whatever spiritual energy he will accumulate, he will carry that energy to successive birth. So his spiritual accumulation of force is not lost in this birth. That is an important message. So a sadhaka has to be aware that only whatever spiritual energy he accumulates, that is his own, and that accompanies him from birth to birth like a psychic being. Now we'll come to Book 1, Canto 2, that is the issue. So this canto makes a sadhaka aware that an absolute supernatural darkness that visits soul of man while he moves towards God. So this is, since this is not a popular religion and popular yoga, so here one has to plunge into subconscious and inconscient world, one has to enter, which is a forbidden world in traditional yoga. So while visiting that world, an absolute supernatural darkness will visit. So the Satyavana's death in the forest is not an ordinary death. It is a symbol that while wandering in inconscient world to find the secret of immortality, he met death. In that way, we understand the Satyavanas death in the forest is a symbol of searching the secret, because the key of the immortality is there hidden in the inconscient world. World problem, key of the world problem, all the world problem is there. So this canto makes us aware an absolute supernatural darkness that visits soul of man while he moves towards God. This evil fate or doom is the child of past negative energies. So fate is defined here that we are having past birth and our destiny is written through the negative work of negative action of our past birth, past energies. And the accumulated soul force through sadhana can travel back in time and illumine the past obscurities and events. So mind has not that capacity to travel back in time, but this spirit has the capacity, soul has the psychic being has the capacity to travel back of this birth and past birth. And whatever darkness and obscurity is there, that psychic being has the capacity to illumine them. Psychic being travels in three time, triple time, past, present and future. He visits past to purify the subconscious, and then he visits future to call down the divine forces, to call down all the divine manifestation to the present earth. So this is an important message that spirit can travel forward and backward, and that capacity has to be fully utilized in integral yoga, that it will go back to illumine the obscurities, and it will go forward to call down the new manifestation, call down the divine energies, new energies of divine will and divine wisdom and divine love. Thus, through each divine intervention, the destiny is rewritten. So Savitri is here, the symbol of spirit's timeless dynamic power, para prakriti, who can leave the yoga imposed by time, by birth in time. This issue is also to exhaust an old account of suffering and the arrest the wheel of earth's doom, this greatness rose. So here also there is an issue of Savitri. So Savitri has to exhaust the old account of suffering by traveling back of the spirit, that is possible. It will be exhausted. And arrest the wheels of earth's doom, this greatness rules. So whenever avatar comes, his task, main task is to arrest the wheel of earth's doom. But each time the avatar fall on that wheel and leaves his body without breaking that earth's wheel, doom. Earth's doom, wheel of doom. So it is the last avatar who can alone break the wheel of the earth. This is described in Book 6 by Narad. So the avatar's task is to break the wheel of earth's doom. So heaven protected Savitri's virginity means her purity, through her pure and dense subtle physical seed, which acted as a tranquil shield to wrestle with shadow, and she had come, was her soul's issue thrown with destiny's dice. Here the soul and nature are the dice players. So nature always meets life with doom. To win the game in all life is soul's issue. So this is also described in the Life Divine, that that this immortal self has accepted the mortal body, so for a particular purpose. So in each birth, If the soul will find the immortality, then that is victory of the soul. If it will fail to find the secret of immortality, then it will continue in the next path. It will try to find the same in the next path. So nature always meets life with doom. To win the game in all life is the soul's issue, which with her nude spirit measure the infinite's night. In this place, soul has to accumulate extreme spiritual force in the form of self's bare reality, or the superman casts its seed to become mightier than all the material forces of the world and wrestles with them to compel its own transfiguration. The spirit only, spirit's bare and absolute power is only the power. Soul's bare and absolute nature has only the power to wrestle with the night of the inconscient, and it can only compel its own transfiguration. This canto also hints that Savitri had attained universalized consciousness of the great world mother now in her rose. This empowers her to open. So when Sri Aurobindo, in the early Purjal, Sri Aurobindo's realization was the cosmic consciousness. So whatever written in the Savitri book, that except the book 8, canto 3, except that was written in Baroda. So all the cantos, that is having the vibration of this cosmic consciousness. So if we want to enter into Savitri, we have always to understand what is this cosmic consciousness. The great world mother now in our arose. This empowers her to open the door denied and closed of dark subconscient and inconscient seed, to dislodge the past which acts as a block in the immortal's journey. So in ordinary life, one cannot enter the subconscient and inconscient world. That door is denied to ordinary life. And in also traditional spirituality, that door is a sealed book, and it was advised not to enter, not to open that door. But in integral yoga, it recognizes that the world's problem, or the key of the world's problem, is there in the subconscious and inconscious. And if the inconscient and subconscious self are open, then the transformation work will be very swift. And that is identified as a grand solution of the problem of existence. So here also in the issue, that point is raised, that this cosmic consciousness empowers Savitri to open the door denied and closed of dark subconscious and inconscious, then dislodges the past which acts as a block in our immortal journey. So in spiritual life, the past, we are having a past and future. Our future is divine and our past is this animal. From animal we have evolved. So also integral yoga proposes two things, this truth or abyss, or divine life, or to become an animal, live like cats and dogs. So we have to choose either of this life. So always the future of man is divine and his past is to recoil to the animal life. The activation of dynamic cosmic consciousness reversed fate's old dead turn and burst the bound nature of three gunas of limited exclusive concentration and opens the door of triple time. So if one will live in cosmic consciousness, his concept of time will change, and the time you will be visited by triple time. This past, present and future will move like the past, present and future, they will move like a picture. And you will always, the past will appear and the future will appear, future will come down to the present, present circumstance. So this issue is also this issue to win or lose the god-like game for men. So that is Savitri's issue. Either she will win the game by dynamization of supreme mother consciousness, supreme consciousness, and or she will lose the game if the supreme consciousness will not dynamize, then she will lose the game for men. Was her soul's issue thrown with destiny's dice? But not to submit and suffer was she born, to lead, to deliver was her glorious part. So now we'll come to book 1, canto 3. This describes the king Ashwapati's yoga. So this begins. So that is very important for the beginners of integral yoga. This is most important part of canto for beginners of integral yoga. Here it hints how through king Ashwapati's movement of consciousness, 10 energy centers or 10 cells opened and their corresponding action in the respective 10 seeds. Here known as all nature. So in book 1, canto 3, we find that that King Ashwapati moved the consciousness, this vertical consciousness, and opened the 10 cells. So those descriptions are there. So how he discovered the inconscient self and subconscient self that I am going through. As a sculptor chisels a deity out of stone, he slowly chipped off the dark envelope, line of defense of nature's ignorance, the illusion and mystery of the inconscient in whose black pall the eternal wraps his head, that he may act unknown in cosmic time. So this is the discovery of inconscient self, in whose black pall the eternal wraps his head. There King Ashwapati saw. That he may act unknown in cosmic time. This is the discovery of inconscient self. Similarly, King Ashwapati discovered this subconscious self. A treasure was found of the supernal day. In the deep subconscious glowed our jewel lamp, lifted its sword the riches of cave, whereby the miser traffickers of sense, unused, guarded beneath night's dragon paws, in the folds of velvet darkness they sleep, whose priceless value could have saved the world. So this subconscious self sleeps in the velvet darkness. So it is, and it is described that if subconscious self will open, then it has the capacity to save the world. This is a very important discovery. Whose priceless value could have saved the world. Then there is discovery of true physical self. Even his body, subtle self within, could raise the earthly parts towards higher things and feel on it the breath of heavenly air. This is the Annamaya Purusha thing, discovered the Annamaya Purusha. Then the king discovered the Pranamaya Purusha, true vital self. A deeper interpretation, greater truth, a grand reversal of the night and day, all the world's value changed, heightening life's aim. A wiser world, a larger thought came in than what the slow labor of human mind can bring. A secret sense awoke that could perceive a presence and greatness everywhere. So this is secret sense is the subtle vital seed, so pure subtle vital seed. So if one will be in contact with the secret sense, then this secret sense has the capacity to hold the divine presence. And one will feel throughout life everywhere the presence and greatness. Then this true mental self, this is Manamaya Purusha. Apart, he lived in mind's solitude. So if the mind will live in solitude, that is a sign of mental virginity. So King Ashwapati had that sign that he wanted to live in mind solitude. A demigod shaping the lives of men, one soul's ambition lifted up the rest, a power worked, but none knew whence it came. So this true mental self has the capacity to lift the rest, for this is a universalized consciousness. A power worked, but none knew whence it came. Then behind the true mental self, there is psychic self. So this is the experience that his soul breaks out to join the oversoul. So this is the union of the Jivatma with Paramatma. His life is ocean with super life. So when the oversoul joined the psychic being, then his life is ocean by the super life. So the super life entered, the supreme life entered into this life. Then spiritual self opened, spiritual being. When the spiritual being opens, one realizes that this Brahman, Satya and Jagat Mithya, Brahman, divine is truth and world is a lie. So this experience is described here. A beam of the eternal spirits is heart. This eternal beam is from spiritual being and heart is the psychic being. His thought stretches into infinitude. All in him turns to spirit's vastnesses. So this is spiritualization of psychic being. Then universal self experiences there. He has drunk from the breast of the mother of the worlds. A topless supernature fills his frame. She adopts his spirit's everlasting ground as the security of our changing world and save the figures of our unborn mites. This is the experience of our universal self, cosmic self. So when it will open this experience, you will take, he has drunk from the breasts of the mother of the worlds. So divine mother. So that divine energy you will drink. King Ashwapati drank the divine energy, divine Shakti. Then supramental self also being experienced, inspired by the silence and the closed eyes sight. His force could work with new luminous art. So in this integral yoga is if the psychic and spiritual being opens, a sadhaka is called Dijo. Twice born soul. So if his supramental being opens, then he is called thrice born soul. So again, a new birth takes place in him. So this is the description. Inspired by silence and the closed eyes sight, his force could work with new luminous art. So spiritual and supramental, they are totally different there. So you will experience a new world. The moment one will enter the supramental world, it is totally different from spiritual and psychic world. And the crude material from which it all is made, and the refusal of inertia's mass, and the grey front of the world's ignorance, and nascent matter, and the huge error of life. Then King experienced the bliss self, a glory and the rapture and the charm, the all blissful set unknown within the heart. So the bliss mother agreed to live in King Ashwapati's heart. This is the highest experience. The all blissful set unknown within the heart, heart's pain with the ransom of its present delight, a glad communion tinged the passing hours, the days were travelers of the destined road, the nights companions of his musing spirit. So this experience, so what I feel that before any spiritual experience is established, one will get brief experience of all this world. So all these experiences are brief experience. So afterwards, this brief experience will be stabilized. So in the book 4, the Divine Mother, the book of Divine Mother, the bliss self is established, King Ashwapati. And And in the book 2, this cosmic self, in book 3 is the book of Divine Mother, there the bliss self is established. And in book 2, the psychic, spiritual, and lastly the supramental was established. And this book 1, the king experienced the movement of consciousness in different planes. So the king's cosmic consciousness is established in book 2. So here you understand from the when a spiritual life begins, one get the glimpse, brief experience of all the world, all the 10 worlds. You will briefly experience supramental world, you will briefly experience the bliss world, and also inconscient self, you will get the brief touch, subconscious self, all the brief touch you will get. And with that brief touch, you will have a faith that, believe that, that one day this opening will be stabilized, it will be stable opening, it will be persistent opening. And this brief opening will be prolonged. It can be prolonged, that path will come. So that is very important. So a dvija, a twice born soul can live in divine's presence for a brief period, and with the prolongation of sadhana, it will be established. The brief presence will be prolonged, it will be more and more. So now we have to go to quickly, we have to go through all these cantos because our time is very brief. So the secret knowledge is very important. So we will discuss the secret knowledge and some other cantos and briefly so that it can be finished in time. So here the secret knowledge is divided into 5 parts. The first part, the canto hints that when we are unconscious and feel ourselves stagnant, there are parts of the being that grow towards the divine during that period. There is much hope here for the beginners of yoga, which is identified as the first secret of sadhana. So this is that we cannot grow uninterruptedly, and when we feel that our development has stopped during that period also, there are some planes in which the development continues. So these are the experiences. When even we fall to look into our souls or lie embedded in earthly consciousness, still have we parts that grow towards the light. Yet are there luminous tracks and heaven serene, and Eldorado of splendor and ecstasy, and temples to the Godhead none can see. This is the experience that even if when we feel arrested during that time also a part of our being will grow towards the divine. This is the hope. When we live in darkness of our tamasic mind is the only lamp in that obscure field, there too the truth light enters like a thief, and its charm and sweetness open many closed doors of our life. About this mystery we must be aware and open. This is the line. When darkness deepens, strangling the heart's breast, and man's corporeal mind is the only lamp, as a thief in the night shall be the covert tread of one who steps unseen into his house, a voice he heard shall speak and soul obey. A power into mind's inner chamber steal, a charm and sweetness open life's closed doors, and beauty conquer the resisting world. The truth light capture nature by surprise, a still the God compel the heart to bliss, and earth grown unexpectedly divine. So this is a very beautiful description in Savitri that the divine steals into our life like a thief, and he makes our life divine and unknowingly and unexpectedly. Its complemented lines are also found in other canto. These are the other cantos there. If the chamber's door is is even a little lesser. What then can hinder God from stealing in, or who can forbid his kiss on the sleeping soul? This is Savitri 6:49. Then, even the many shall some answer make and bear the splendor of the divine's wrath and his impetus knock at unseen door. So, divine will hastily will knock at the door. When we live alone with ourselves, leaving our cherished guest outside, that is also condition of meeting divine. So it is one important observation King Ashwapati saw, that when we leave our guest outside our house, then when we enter the room all alone, then we meet the divine. And through the movement of divine consciousness, the gulf between the different subtle worlds are breached. In moments when the inner lamps are lit and the life's cherished guests are left outside, our spirit sits alone and speaks to its gulfs. So this is all described throughout Savitri, that if we want spirit, if we want to have contact with the psychic being who is our best friend, so we have to live alone. And only during the moment we live alone, we meet our psychic being. There is a line in Savitri, those who live alone with themselves meet God. This is the secret. So if we want to find our spiritual being, psychic being, then we have to live in seclusion. The first part of secret knowledge suggests that all men knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously receive divine touch, but few of them are capable of catching and holding the divine flame and can lead greater and higher spiritual life. All will get divine touch, but all cannot live divine life. Few can live, because few can hold, few can trace a path. All can enter supramental's huge store for a very brief period with new creations, new inventions, and new opulence at their disposal, but none can stay in that world permanently. Only a few who have strong, subtle, and causal body can enter the supramental world for longer period and can descend into subconscious and inconscious night for longer period and experience conscious transformation there. So with the help of only this supramental, if it is dynamized, then one can live more period in that supramental world and also in inconscient and subconscious world. A fire has come and touched man's heart and gone, and few have caught that flame and risen to greater life. Only they knew what mind could take and build out of secret supermind's huge store. There man can visit, but there he cannot live. So supramental world, that all men can visit, but they cannot live in that world, because their vessels are not prepared. This is the first part of this. This is the first part of secret knowledge. In second part, this canto hints that for those who are aware of the above mystery, the divine chooses a few of them as his instrument. And by the touch of his infinite grace and force, their frontal nature is predominated by silence, stillness, calm, and peace. So all get divine touch, but divine chooses few as his instrument, and those to whom he chooses, divine chooses as instrument. So in their frontal nature, there is silence, stillness, calm, and peace that is felt. In the unfolding process of the self, sometimes the inexpressible mystery elects a human vessel of descent. A breath comes down from supernal air, a presence is born, a guiding light awakes, a stillness falls upon the instruments, fixed motionless like a marble monument. Stone calm, the body is the pedestal supporting a figure of the eternal peace. So this is the characteristics of instrument. They will have peace in their frontal nature, equality, silence. Then the third part of secret knowledge, awareness of guardians of supramental world and world creators who oversee fate, chance, and divine work. So like our objective world, there is a subjective world, and in that subjective world, there are guardians of the psychic plane, supramental plane, spiritual plane. So their business is to help. If we want to ascend into the higher planes, they will help us to be established in that plane. So awareness of guardians. So if you do this yoga, then the invisible guardians from supramental world will come down to help us, help in our ascent of the soul and give protection to our sadhana life. They will help to change our destiny, transform chance into decreed spiritual life, and will expedite the divine work, divine purification, transformation and perfection. A greater personality sometimes possesses us, which yet we know is ours. There are long descriptions of these beings, supramental beings who help men. Then the fourth part. The fourth part, the relation between the creator and creation, and creator's blind love and care for the creation without seeing any of our defect, limitation and fault. This is also Prakriti Jagya, a Vedic sacrifice more powerful than Purusha Jagya, a Vedantic sacrifice. Prakriti Jagya is very important sadhana for developed souls. How the creator is taking care of creation and how he has made himself a slave of her are most beautifully and most profoundly described by Sri Aurobindo. Very rare in our spiritual history. This is identified as the fourth secret of sadhana, which culminates in discovering the relation of dual avatar in our heart center. We can practice this surrender literally as described in the canto and will benefit most from this exercise. So here Sri Aurobindo describes that the creator divine is loving his creation and is unable to see any defect in his creation, and he's loving so much that the divine became the slave of his creation and took care of his creation without any question, without any finding any fault in his creation. So that is very important. So if we literally practice that sadhana, this, if we literally practice it, then it will be a great help in our sadhana. Here this is the description. As one too great for him worships her, he adores her creation as his regent of desire, the whole wide world is only he and she. Then the fifth part. In the fifth part, a seeker of truth is a wild adventurer and voyager. So if a sadhak, so here integral yoga proposes that a sadhaka should have these four qualities. He should be Brahmin soul force. That means he knows how to reject falsehood and accept the truth. He should be Kshatriya soul force, so that he has courage and adventure in the kind of both outer world and inner world. And it should be Vaishya. Vaishya means he can give love, he can give delight, he can give beauty, he can give other opulence. And Sudra means here you will practice this obedience and service, you will keep service, obedience and conscription you will have in his frontal nature. So if all the four characters are there, then one is fit for doing integral yoga. Then all these parts. So Sri Aurobindo wanted that a sadhaka should be an adventurer and voyager of multiple unknown oceans, representing 10 subtle bodies or seeds, and cosmologist exploring the obscure geography of three farm lands of surface life, mind and body. So cosmo has to become cosmologist, those who study of this outer world. And this inner world is described as 10 worlds, 10 unknown oceans. For that one has to become very fearless, because King Ashwapati, while exploring the dark world, he suffered wounds which are slow to heal. So also Satyavan and Savitri, they also, it is described that each birth they face million wounds. So that ordinary men cannot bear those million wounds. So it is only the avatars they can bear. So in order to transform this heart, they have to bear in their body the million wounds. So for that, a sadhaka has to become Kshatriya soul force, having the courage to affront the power of perilous men and to fight outer and inner endless wars, and ready to bear the inner and outer wounds that are slow to heal, till he traces a path to the supramental world with new and or transformed body and mind. Till this discovery, he carries Divine Mother's sealed order and sails on the inconscient fathomless sea. In ashram activity, most of the inmates are Sudra soul force. They give service and hold ashram living by practice of obedience, but they recoil from any great adventure. So the presence of few more Kshatriya soul force is felt, and with their help, the adventure of consciousness can be expedited. So these I have written in the context of our ashram. So if one is Sudra Solpo, then he can only give service and obedience. So, but in ashram living, this Kshatriya Solpos is also necessary. So that through that Kshatriya Solpos, he can do adventure, both inner and outer world. He will be voyager and cosmologist. Now we'll quickly go through all the other cantos. We'll cover 15 cantos, 16 cantos we have to cover in a brief time. So in book 1, canto 5, so king explored different realms. Here the king's adventure into spiritual planes has been revealed and they are divided into 7 parts. So in the first part, the transition from ordinary life to supramental life, where all the 3 times is forever known, and all that is gods have learned is they are self-known. The king Ashwapati was able to build in ignorant steps of light, saw the unshaped thought in soulless form, new matter pregnant with spiritual sense, mind dared to study the unknowable life as a gestation of golden child. In the void he saw throne the omniscient supreme. So these are the experiences. In the second part, king experienced the Vedantic ascent of the soul followed by descent of Shakti. In the second part, king experienced only ascent of the soul. Then the third part, the ascent of the soul is followed by the descent of Shakti, that is Vedantic experience. Then in the fourth part, his being towered into pathless height to meet bare, pure and breathless divine love. A strong descent of might, flame, beauty and violent ecstasy leaped down and enveloped him by penetrating into nerve, heart and brain. Then the fifth part, King Ashwapati experienced the Vedic sacrifice. That means first there will be descent of Shakti followed by ascent of the soul. Then king practiced the double movement, that means one will do Vedantic sacrifice followed by Vedic sacrifice, then Vedic ascent of the soul followed by descent by Shakti, then descent of Shakti followed by ascent of soul, that he practiced. Seventh part, by the pressure of the high plane and bottom inconsciency discovered. So by this movement of consciousness, the inconscient self opened and Sivananda described it as the grand solution. Due to this discovery of inconscient self, close the long impasse, the music and the perfect rhythm were born in matter's silence and reconciling wisdom was found, which lifted the striving undertone of mind. The confused refrain of human hopes, inarticulate murmur of our lives, underground pain, souls faint, scattered utterance, disjointed mutterings in sleep into sweet and happy divine call. So lastly, this canto asks the sadhaka to become a voyager and adventurer in consciousness and discover another time and another space other than the experience of divisible time and divisible space of surface mind. So now this ends the book 1. So now we'll go to book 2. Book 2 is having 15 cantos. So this is also the most difficult part. So King Ashwapati has undergone the most difficult spiritual experience in different planes. So first it is described that king's consciousness is universalized. So this gives the hint that those whose consciousness is universalized, they alone can travel in different planes of consciousness. So this is the example of universalized consciousness. All could be seen that sons, the mortal eye, all could be known, the mind has never grasped, all could be done, no mortal will can dare, a limitless movement filled, a limitless peace. This is the experience of cosmic self. Now we'll come to the book 2, canto 2. This is the kingdom of subtle matter. This is the important science of subtle physical. Any new thing, new manifestation will take place through subtle physical. So if we will make the our subtle physical very pure and very strong, then that is a basis to which the new things will manifest. So this world will go through this dream. So book 2, canto 2 represent the subtle physical world. It is an important spiritual science hinted in Upanishad as a dream self, Sukma Sarira. This world is very close to the material world, the meeting place of superconscient, subconscient and universal world. This subtle physical is an important role in supramental transformation action in which the high and the low worlds are made one. All the happenings and new manifestation in this material world have their source and previous formation in this subtle matter. A purified and universalized subtle matter can act as field of interpenetration of superconscient and subconscient energies, and hence is the preparatory field of all new manifestations. This, in the mother's agenda, we will find the subtle physical. So mother, most of our spiritual experiences is described in the language of subtle physical. So this is a heaven very close to our material world. So one must have his strong footing in this world. This is very beautifully described in four parts. Sri Aurobindo described the four parts in four parts, the subtle physical world. And lastly, this canto proposes that in order to build a spiritual passage, the subtle physical is to be made pure, transparent, and dense, and must develop a constant aspiration to possess the highest length. So this demands that we should have a constant aspiration to possess the highest length. Now we'll come to book 2, canto 3, Glory and Fall of Life. In this canto, the king ascends to subtle vital plane from the subtle matter plane. From here, he could understand the dichotomy between the subtle vital as it is reflected in our plane, the fallen state, compared to its original beauty, higher, pure, vital world. So the subtle vital one is very pure vital world and there is one impure. So the subtle vital has one door open to superconscient, another door is open to subconscient. So if the superconscient force will work, then we'll meet the pure world, and even the subconscient world will enter into this world, then we'll get the impure vital world. So there is a long description about glory and how one experiences spiritual fall in this world is also described by Sri Aurobindo. Then book 2, canto 4, The Kingdom of Little Life. Book 2, canto 4 gives the message that after exertion of multiple material enjoyment of life, spiritual life begins. This canto gives an important message that that one must exhaust all the material enjoyment of life. Then the spiritual life begins, and we have to understand that physical life exhausts itself by too much giving and ruins itself by too much devouring. Is the message of life divine. So, if we practice giving, then the physical life exhausts, and if we practice devouring, then it ruins. Physical life becomes corrupt. If we devour. We also get the hint that after opening the spiritual being, his gates to the world were swept with siege of light. So this experience is very important. His gates to the world were swept with siege of light. If one will go through this experience, then all his attraction of the world will be adjusted. Then you will no longer be attracted, no longer waste his time in enjoyment of the external world. So thus a higher life begins. So this canto speaks of triple creation, where first creation is subconscious evolution, the second creation is the evolution in lower little life, and third creation is identified as body's early evolution of mind. So these are described here. This canto foresees the coming of some tremendous dawn of God, where kings saw the purpose of the divine work in time and also the aimlessness of lower life, a divine work, magic wheel and divine transformation was worked out. This canto proposes to work out the adventure of the unseen and the soul's tread through unknown infinities. So in this book too, Sri Aurobindo has given considerable time for the purification of the vital being. So this large part occupied with the vital beings, the vital godheads, yes, because they disturb most in sadhana. Then book to canto 5 also, the godhead of little life. So in each world there are beings, and in the higher worlds they help, in the lower world they disturb in sadhana. So these godheads of little life, they disturb in sadhana. So to recapitulate, this canto proposes a mighty hand that helps us to travel back in time to the past of this life and past births for illumination of the subconscious darkness and divine transformation, and also hints the action of golden messenger who are responsible for carrying out the cellular transformation. This also hint in successive cantos at our present waiting for the golden hand that never came, and locking up our protected life in Savitri's golden hands. This is Savitri 7:23, it described that. Savitri has protected us with her golden hands. Then book 2, canto 6, it deals with kingdom and godheads of the greater life. Book 2, canto 6 gives us input regarding the action of higher vital beings, the action of higher nature, of para prakriti, which can give us divine touch and not is embrace. In this plane, twilight is not entirely abolished, hence its door is open to both gods and beings of higher planes and hostile agencies of subconscious world. The greatness of this world is to seek soul-saving truth tirelessly and create and manifest new forms. For the king, this higher life was a search but finding of the absolute never came. This is a big canto. This is greater life. So Sri Aurobindo is divided into 9 parts. Yes, describe this greater world in 9 parts, 10 parts. This canto proposes that the only business of our heart's business of a sadhaka is to call down Paramatma, Supreme Purusha and Paraprakriti to the heart center and keep him close to her breast in her world cloak, ceaselessly. This will avoid the risk of escape from her arms and turn to the formless peace. So Divine Mother always pulls the sadhaka to the earth and give her divine touch there. So, turn to the formless peace of Paramdham. King Ashwapati's, this supramental union is also confirmed symbolically as Savitri's yoga, as unwilling to lose his body from her breast. That means Paramatma, which means Paramatma and Paraprakriti, they are always in union, always. So they are unwilling to separate themselves from each other. This experience is there in Savitri's yoga 471. So this also King Ashwapati experienced. And keep him close to our breast in our world cloak. So Jivatma is in union with the Para Prakriti. This is the experience. And this is a ceaseless experience. And book 2, canto 7, the descent into the night. So this world is forbidden for the ordinary souls. They descend into night and all cities, endless net is forbidden in traditional spirituality, and King Ashwapati entered this prohibited dark world with the hope of finding wide world pilgrim's cause and panacea of all times ill. For the key of the world problem is hidden in the inconscient night, and for the key is hid and by the inconscient kept. So here Sri Aurobindo said that that in the inconscient our problem of life can be resolved if we can enter the inconscient world, and that is not possible with the help of ordinary mind. Only those who have supramental at their disposal, they can enter this world. So king breaking the norm of the traditional jogo, he entered this world. So there are beautiful description of this world. So those developing souls who enter this night unconsciously experience spiritual fall and forfeit their only chance in this birth, and their beauty of the life ends with the aging face. So this is the description. If a developing soul will enter this world, then you will experience spiritual fall and forfeit his lonely chance in this birth. And the beauty of life ends with the aging face. So here also king entered the darkest plane of inconsciency. That description is also there. This canto proposes that sadhaka become heroes and soldiers of the army of light and walk safely and securely in the dangerous dark world only by keeping God in their heart. This canto also proposes that for subconscious transformation, ceaseless japa is indispensable. So ceaseless japa is given importance. So in this canto and in successive canto, the king maintained ceaseless japa. Here must the traveler of the upward way, for daring hell's kingdom winds heavenly route, pause or pass slowly through that perilous space, a prayer upon his lips and the great name. So one has to practice ceaseless japa. So also Savitri met his lower nature in book 7. So she also used the japa to control the lower nature also. So those who have lower nature, so most of the human beings are having lower nature. So this Savitri book proposes that if the lower nature can be controlled with the help of japa. And it can be ceaseless, because if one will live in waking trance, then it is ceaseless. If in the mind, it will be intermittent. Mind cannot remember divine ceaselessly. So the mother declared that he was doing all the times japa because she was living in waking trance. Waking trance means this second divine call, that means this jivatma's union with para prakriti is there, then the waking trance will be active. So in that waking trance, one can do japa ceaselessly. Then book 2, canto 8 is the world falsehood, the mother of evils and sons of darkness. King Ashwapati challenged the darkness with his luminous soul and dared to adventure into dark ocean of subconscious and inconscient plane with supramental energy at his disposal. Here King Ashwapati met the mother of evil. She was the death was his foster son. As the guardian, this canto gives some new message on the dark nether world. It has identified the mother of evil as the guardian of that world, as represented, and represented death as her foster son. So the king Ashwapati met the mother of evil. So her foster son was death. Those who strive for immortality on earth must confront this dark antagonist force. So one seeks immortality, then he has to go through this experience. He has to face the mother of evil, confront with the mother of evil. This canto also hints about the twice born soul known as divine child. He needs congenial atmosphere in which he can survive and flower, and he needs yet four things before he can succeed. The Shruti, the recorded revelation, the sacred teacher, second. Third is practice of yoga, four is grace of God. So Dija will succeed if these four conditions are satisfied. So some knowledge should descend to him. That is first condition. Second is that he should have a teacher, sacred teacher, spiritual foster. Then he will practice yoga. Then fourth is his opening towards divine grace. Unfortunately, world's spiritual shrines are largely occupied by dark, terrible agencies, and they cunningly slay the soul of the divine children in the cradle. So here Srivinda describes that twice born soul, if a soul is born twice, most of the twice born souls are killed in divine centers because they are dark agencies, they live in the name of the divine. This book proposes that when a Dijo is born, then the divine deputes for him a living teacher like King Ashwapati, or he has to find him out in distant land, like discovery of Satyavana in the deep forest. So here this book also proposes that when the Dijo is born, he has either divine will depute for him a living teacher, or he has to find a living teacher in distant land. And if you will get the right teacher, then his life will flower. And if you will get the wrong teacher, then his soul will be slain in that divine center. This is an important message Sri Aurobindo gives, that the most of the divine centers of the world, they are occupied by the dark, terrible agencies. This canto gives the secret of outer death. Before outer death, when the growth of the soul is arrested, the psychic being decides to leave the body. After the psychic escape, the aura or golden nimbus around the body is withdrawn. A dark shadow is replaced, and finally, after a brief time passed, the subtle body and subtle mind leave the body. So, how a soul dies, that description is there. So, first the psychic being withdraws from the body, because if psychic being is not satisfied, then with the action of the mind, life and body, then it withdraws, because his growth is arrested. So, after the psychic being leaves around, so the other physical mind and vital mind, they leave the body, and one is declared dead. So, when a person dies, that does not mean that he dies at that time. So 6 months before his psyche being leaves the body. So this is a very important observation. Then fourth part. Here also, King Ashwapati took the help of the Japas, ceaseless Japa. The world turned into falsehood as heaven to truth and God, and suggest in this canto that for transformation of subconscious and inconscient, ceaseless Japa of the divine name is indispensable. Here this is the description. Arousing consciousness in things inert, he imposed upon dark atom and dumb mass the diamond script of the imperishable, inscribed on the dim heart of the fallen things a paean song of the free infinite and the name foundation of eternity, and traced away the exultant cells in the ideographs of the ineffable, the lyrics of the love that waits through time, and the mystic volume of the book of bliss and the message of the superconscient fire. Here also Sri Aurobindo gives hint that if a book is there after Savitri, that is book of bliss. So Sri Aurobindo hints about the future Savitri book will be recorded in the, because Savitri exists in the subtle physical, and if anybody wants to record the subtle Savitri, then it can be recorded in the book of bliss. So when Anurakta was there, so our book, I asked him what name we will give, whether divine bliss or the book of bliss. So Anurakta proposed that the book's name should be divine bliss. Then we have kept a chapter in that divine bliss, the one chapter, book of bliss, one chapter we kept. So here Sri Aurobindo gave the hint of the book of bliss. This canto makes the sadhaka aware that hell is a shortcut to heaven's gate, and further hints that like King Ashwapati, he has to confront with the dark forces and bear the fierce inner wounds that are slow to heal. So if one will do this integral yoga, he has to go through these fierce inner wounds that are slow to heal in there, that he has to confront with dark energies, forces. So here this canto also says that if anybody will want to do sadhana, then Then in the record book of the pulse, the son of falsehoods record book, their name will be entered. And they will try to make all types of disturbance. And if one will leave this path, then they will leave him. So those who want to do this yoga, none can reach heaven who has not passed through hell. So Sri Aurobindo declared that. That the giant sons of darkness sit and plan the drama of the earth, their tragic stage. So all who would raise the fallen world must come under the dangerous arcs of their power, for even the radiant children of the gods to darken their privilege and dreadful right. None can reach heaven who has not passed through hell. So if one will decide to do spiritual life, then his name is immediately entered in the record book of this falsehood, the sons of falsehood. And they will try to do harm, all possible harm. If one will recoil, then they will leave him. So none can reach heaven who has not passed through hell. So one has to go through the experience of the hell in order to arrive at the heaven. One has to bear the shocks of these dark forces. Now we'll come to book 2, canto 9, this paradise of life God. This canto begins with the message of King Ashwapati's movement of consciousness between the psychic and spiritual plane. In this book 2, canto 9, King Ashwapati entered a higher world in cosmic consciousness. As one who sees the world magician's class, around him shone the great felicitous day, known as Obermind. This canto indicates that one can enter this higher cosmic consciousness either through the psychic being or through spiritual being. If you will enter through the psychic being, this is the line, and make the heart wide and infinity. And if you will enter through spiritual being, then and lay on the breast of universal love, or through movement of both the selves, a touch supreme surprise is hurrying heart. If psychic and spiritual are combined, then this will be the experience. A touch supreme surprise is hurrying heart. So this is the experience. Here this consciousness is moved between the psychic, spiritual, and then this cosmic consciousness. So in this canto, his gates to the world were swept with seas of light. This is one important experience. Because most of our desire we meet from the world, and if the desire is not exhausted, then we cannot lead a spiritual life. So if we have this experience, his gates to the world were swept with seas of light, then the attraction towards the world will decrease, will reduce. Then we come to book 2, canto 10, Kingdom of Godhead of Little Mind. So this little mind are tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind. So they are dealt in the Bhagavad Gita very, very, very extensively it is dealt, and more extensively here. Because here one has to silence them, this tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind. Then one has to transform them. Triple transformation they have to go through. That is one psychic transformation, then spiritual transformation, then the combined psychic and spiritual transformation. So this is a very important this canto because how we will handle this tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind. That is very elaborately this here it is given. So here also it proposes the psychic transformation of them, spiritual transformation and supramental transformation. Then book 2, canto 2, canto 11. This is a kingdom and goddess of greater mind. So here we meet the universalized action of the higher mind and universalized this illumined mind and universalized intuitive mind, and also the over mind that is also universalized. So here Sri Aurobindo, without giving name, this triple world is described. So we have given this name, this higher illumined mind and intuitive mind, they are universalized here. But Sri Aurobindo has not given any name of these worlds, these higher worlds. So there also, King Ashwapati met the godheads of those worlds. They will help in sadhana immensely. If one will travel to that world, those beings will help. Then here in this canto, the project sadhaka is citizen of mother state. That means a spiritual or spiritual fosterer. A sadhaka can become a spiritual fosterer. And his soul is immaculate in white virginity. In order to adventure into matters night, he must have Kshatriya soul force in his frontal nature. So this canto proposes that one should have very daring in nature. So because he has to enter inner world. So there is a long discussion how this Kshatriya soul force description is there of courage and bravery and courage. And also Brahmin soul force is also described. Brahmin means you reject falsehood and truth, accept truth. In addition to Kshatriya soul force, spiritual life prohibits earthly enjoyment and rest and proposes ceaseless action by uniting with the divine and ceaseless descent of divine wisdom and love. The ultimate vision is to call down the Supreme Lord and His magic will in its entirety and can break down all established laws, all limitations of mortal life instantly. Search for that fire of love which can bring dead back to life, that power which can cancel the things once done, that supreme consciousness which can arrest the advance of time and sleeping moments. So there is a line in Savitri, no silent peak is found where time can rest. So we cannot arrest the time, we cannot stop the advance of time, but there is a consciousness in which the time can be arrested. So here Sri Aurobindo gives hint. This canto also gives the message that a sadhaka must also have a highest Brahmin soul force in his frontal nature, which is a ceaseless rejection of falsehood and ceaseless acceptance of overt truth. This canto hints that establishment of soul-saving truth, which alone can replace the soul-saving truth of three gunas. So if we live in three gunas, whatever truth we realize, that is soul-slaying. If we go beyond the gunas and whatever truth will descend to us, that is soul-saving truth. So we have to replace soul-slaying truth with soul-saving truth. That is a task for the sadhaka. This canto also makes us aware of the limitations and makes us accountable towards divine life. So we do sadhana and our sadhana life is accountable. We must be accountable for our sadhana. Then now we'll come to book 2, canto 12. This is heavens of ideal. This book 2, canto 12 gives the account of King Ashwapati's psychic beings ascend to spiritual and supramental height. And hence this ascent is identified as Purusha Jagya or Vedantic sacrifice. It left the known summits to the unknown peaks. Its words are steps of the ascending force. Only the eternal strength in us can dare to attempt the immense adventure of that climb and the sacrifice of all we cherish here. Here we find the account of movement of consciousness in higher planes of consciousness, particularly between psychic and spiritual plane. Each stage of soul's remote ascent was built into constant heaven felt always here. So here also King Ashwapati also experienced the chakras, so opening of chakras that took place from above the head downward. So now we come to book 2, canto 13. The self of mind. This is the opening of spiritual being. This book 2, canto 13 concentrates on King Ashwapati's full opening of intermediate static spiritual being and its relation with dynamic psychic being below and dynamic supramental being above. It also hints that the most important psychic being of integral Jago is partly fulfilled by union with spiritual being and fully satisfied with union with supramental being. So this canto proposes that if one will remain in the world, he will have to live in the prison of ego. And if he will activate the spiritual being, it will find a passage of extinction and escape from this world. So we have to go beyond the spiritual mind in order to discover the dynamic spirit and comprehensive solution to the world's problem. To be was a prison, extinction the escape. If one will discover the spiritual being, you will feel that Brahma, Satya, Jagat, Mithya, that experience will be there. If you will return to the three gunas, you will discover his ego. And if you will go to his spiritual being, he feels that we should leave this world because the world problem cannot be solved. So if one will meet the spiritual being, his next task is to go beyond it, to dynamize the spiritual being. So that is the task of integral yoga. So if you spiritual being is dynamite, then it will come down to the material world. Then book 2, canto 14, the world soul. So this is very important. So here in this canto, the king's, the universal consciousness is established. Earlier he was going for a brief moment to that world, but here that is established. Book 2, Canto 14 represents King Ashwapati's spiritual experience of cosmic self, which is same as dynamic state of spiritual being. All this existence is Brahman of the Gita, Vasudeva Sarvamithi, Para Prakriti of the Divine Mother of Tantra. This is also identified as preliminary state of supermind where the world self and divine are reconciled. This is also a state of consciousness which is outcome of Jivatma's divine union with Para Prakriti, who holds together this universe, Jagat Dharayate. This is described in the Gita 7.5 verse. So this is a very important canto. So here, King's cosmic consciousness is universalized. And this book proposes that if we want to relate ourselves world with our kith and kin and with our fellow brothers, then we should relate through this cosmic consciousness. So in cosmic consciousness, matter and spirit are reconciled and all negations of material life is divinized by universal spirit's touch. This canto proposes a sadhaka to how to enter relation with others' souls by activation of the cosmic self. Here the subtle touch of one soul with another soul is given much importance by extension and universalization of subtle body, and the touch of gross body were not needed to establish this divine love. So divine love will be established and become strong through the subtle touch, divine touch. So their gross touch is not necessary, not indispensable. This cosmic consciousness is the home and training ground of dead souls also. Through internal trance and one enters the right relation with this world, fellow brothers, dead kith and kin and material things, through direct contact with this higher consciousness. So this also, in this cosmic consciousness, the King Ashwapati was able to have direct personal contact with the Supreme Lord and Supreme Mother and their dual relation, which uplifted King's consciousness to the status of avatar. So the king also have the experience of the avatar consciousness. This is the description. His soul passed on a single conscious power towards the end, which ever begins again, approaching through a stillness, dormant calm to the source of all things human and divine. There he beheld in their mighty unions poised the figure of deathless two in one, a single being in two bodies clasped, a diarchy of two united souls, seated absorbed in deep creative joy, their trance of bliss sustained the mobile world. This is a very high experience, highest experience of the king, that he experienced the deathless two in one, in the Supreme Self. So this experience made him the status of avatar, brought him to the status of avatar. Then this is the last canto of the book two, canto 15, the kingdom of greater knowledge. Book 2, Canto 15 gives the message of the supramental plane which become active after one is established in the movement of consciousness between the universal and transcendent self, which succeeds the movement of consciousness between waking trance of psychic and non-waking trance of spiritual plane. A concentration on this canto can give brief supramental thoughts, brief supramental silence, brief supramental hope, and brief supramental peace. So, if we concentrate this canto, then Lord will give us brief experience of supramental, not established experience, a brief experience He will give. This canto hints that due to the supramental influence, some permanent changes were observed in King's physical appearance. So, they are identified as a light was around him, wide and absolute. So the king was surrounded with a light and it was absolute light. This change is also observed in Satyavana's pursuit of yoga in book 7. There, above the cherished head of Satyavana, Savitri saw not now fates dark and lethal or a golden circle around a mystic sun disclosed to her newborn predicting sight. The same experience also Satyavan also entered. When they entered the supramental world, their body, the color of their body changed. So Sri Aurobindo's last years of Sri Aurobindo's photos were like that, that the color of his body changed. And also Sri Anurakta also we find during the last period his body as bliss self, body was bliss self. And Anurakta entered the bliss world. During King's psychic and spiritual opening, he became twice born soul, and the first and second reversal of consciousness was experienced. So a Dijo can hold the Divine's presence for a brief period, and we mark King's particular spiritual experience in the previous book to Canto 5. This is, if a Dijo can hold the Divine presence for a brief period, this is described in Savitri. A new life dawns, he looks out from vistas wide. The spirit's breath moves him, but soon retires. His strength was not made to hold the puissant guest. So the king was not able to hold the divine presence permanently. The king experienced another new birth, a third reversal of consciousness during the supramental opening. So when king's supramental being opened, then he became the thrice born soul. This is the description. In the kingdom of the spirit's power and light, as if one who arrived out of infinity's home, he came newborn, infant and limitless, and grew in the wisdom of the timeless child. He was a vast that soon became a son. This is King's supramental experience, and in that world everything was different from the spiritual and psychic world. In this context, we can note, so with this line, I will conclude. In this context, we can note the mother's following experience. When we begin living the spiritual life, a reversal of consciousness takes place, which for us is a proof that we have entered a spiritual life. Well, yet another occurs when we enter the supramental world. And probably each time a new world opens up, there will again be a new reversal. This is why even our spiritual life, which is such a total reversal compared to the ordinary life, seems something still so totally different when compared to this supramental consciousness, that the values are almost opposite. I can explain the phenomena like this. Successive reversals that of ever new richness of creation will take place from stage to stage, making whatever came before seem so poor in comparison, what to us seems supremely rich compared to our ordinary life, appears so poor compared to the new reversal of consciousness. Such was my experience. This is very mother's very rare experience. This is so here in this canto also King supramental action and supramental wisdom and also supramental love are described. Supramental action makes a sadhaka king, leader and captain of the team. Supramental wisdom makes him a scout guarding truth's diamond purity and pioneer of new consciousness by tracing new path. Supramental love makes his life exceedingly joyful laughter and boundless self-giving. So today we covered the 20 cantos. So very quickly also. So this is a very book two, and this kind of 15 cantos, they are very difficult. They are very difficult spiritual experience. So but the Sri Aurobindo proposes that one should do first King Ashwapati's yoga, then After that, one will be fit for doing the Savitri's Jogo and Satyavanas Jogo. So with this, I conclude. Om Tat Sat.